From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm John Harwood, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Barbecue is the taste of summer, and passions run deep over the best ways to prepare and where to find it. The art of the perfect barbecue is part science, close to the best secrets, and a whole lot of tradition. We're tasting it all with some of the best barbecue masters from around the country. This hour On Point, it's barbecue bragging rights time, and we're firing up the grill. You can join us on air or online. Where do you come down on the rub versus sauce divide? Where have you tasted the best barbecue in the country? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Throughout the hour, we'll sample some of the nation's best barbecue, but first, we'll begin with a little barbecue history. Joining us now from Woods Hole, Massachusetts, is Stephen Reichlin, author of the Barbecue Bible cookbook series and the TV host of Project Smoke and Primal Grill on PBS. Steve Reichlin, welcome to On Point.
Hi, John.
Steve, I want to start by going to the 30,000-foot level and looking at the big picture of where barbecue fits into the universe. We've got a clip from an episode of This American Life called Letters, which aired in September 1996, when one man talked about what his image of barbecue is.
The sizzle of meat on the grill and the sweet smell of cooking beef fill the air, and everyone is happy and jolly, and life seems so much easier. The barbecue is sort of a tonic for the dollar of everyday life, a reminder of a sort of greater purpose than 40 hours of work a week. And yet, barbecue is not just a reminder of that purpose, but in many ways is that purpose. For barbecue is one of the great binding elements of the universe. That sort of metaphysical Play-Doh that maybe can be shaped and molded but not defined.
Stephen Reichlin, metaphysical Play-Doh that binds the universe. How did that happen?
Well, it happened about 1.8 million years ago when a distant human ancestor called Homo erectus learned that you could cook meat with fire. It was probably an accident. A forest fire swept through the woods, and someone tasted roasted auroch, a prehistoric steer, and uttered the first grunt of gastronomic pleasure in history. Now,
do we know what that sounded like?
What's that?
The first grunt in gastronomic history?
What's that?
Do we know what it sounded like?
Ah, I'm sure it was the same ah of pleasure that you hear when you eat at Franklin's Barbecue in Austin or the Pecan Lodge in Dallas or Hometown Barbecue in Red Hook, Brooklyn. But in any case, this act of eating meat cooked with fire, it set off a series of evolutionary changes. Our brains became bigger, our mouths and jaws became smaller. We became a communal animal that shared a fire, shared a cooking fire, shared a meal together. We looked at one another across a fire pit and then a table as we ate. So really everything that makes us human stems from barbecue.
Now, I read something about a 16th century discovery in the Caribbean of people smoking meat, which was when the word barbecue, or at least the derivative, first came into use. Is that your understanding as well?
Yep. The exact year was 1514. Discoverer of barbecue, so-called discoverer, was a guy named Gonzalo Fernandez de Oviedo, a Spaniard who was assigned to run a gold mine in Colombia. And they stopped in Hispaniola, today the Dominican Republic and Haiti, to take on water. And while there, he discovered a group of natives gathered around there were sort of four poles positioned around a fire with crossbars across the top. And on top of that was wild game. Around it on sticks were fish. And he said, "What do you guys have going on there?" They replied, thinking he was talking about the device, a barbacoa. That's what it sounded like to the Spanish ears. And in any rate, that became our word barbecue.
Stephen, I want to get a direct answer before I begin bringing in our master barbecue chefs. And I don't want any politics. I want you to take a stand. Memphis, Texas, North Carolina, Kansas City, what's the best?
John, do you have children?
Three of them.
Okay, if you have children on any given day at any given moment, you can name one of them as your favorite, but in fact, the big picture is you love them all equally. That is how I feel about regional American barbecue.
I think that's a political answer.
No, you know, life is too short to just settle on one style or the other style. They're all great.
All right, well, I'm going to take one of the claimants to the top spot. Joining me now from Asheville, North Carolina, is Brian King and Shane Hevner. Brian King is co-owner of the 12 Bones Smokehouse, and Shane Hevner is the head chef at 12 Bones. They're also co-authors of the 12 Bones Smokehouse, a mountain barbecue cookbook. 12 Bones is a favorite stop of President Obama's. Brian King and Shane Hevner, welcome to On Point.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hey, John, how are you?
Howdy, gentlemen.
Guys, I first have to start by saying this barbecue in Asheville touches my heart because the rehearsal dinner for my wedding was at an Asheville barbecue place. I'm not sure it's still open. Bill Stanley's?
It is not still open, but I know the place.
It was, anyway, it was excellent. Guys, tell me a little bit about the food that is sitting in front of me, which is from your place. There's 12 Bones brisket, brown sugar ribs, and some collards and baked beans and ginger cookie. First of all, let me ask you about the brisket. Texans, I read the Texans think that they are the king of brisket. What's different about North Carolina brisket?
Actually, that is a Texas-style brisket. Here in Asheville, we're kind of in the eye of the Bible Belt, and we think it's a little boring sticking to one particular style of barbecue ourselves. So we take the still a little bit from Texas on that brisket. It's a dry rub,
salt and pepper.
It's got about 15 different flavorings in it. We've got garlic, onion, salt, pepper, cayenne, paprika, brown sugar, we rub it down, smoke it for 13 hours around 190 degrees. That's smoked with cherry.
I'm eating it right now. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I'm eating it dry. Now I've got this blueberry chipotle dressing. Tell me about that, or sauce.
Okay. That starts out with the base of our sweet tomato barbecue sauce, and we add chipotle peppers, honey, and some ground ginger in there, and blueberries, of course. And it's one of our biggest barbecue
sauces. Got a little kick
sauces.
To it.
Yeah, it does have a little kick to it. We usually use that on our ribs. Our brisket, we use a mop sauce. We try to stay with that Texas tradition of just tasting the meat. We don't really put any barbecue sauce on our brisket, take it with a grain of salt on the brisket and ribs. Our ribs we normally hit with mop sauce and finish them off on the grill and get a little bit of char on them. And we had to send you our brisket. We try to serve it the same day it's cooked, so you guys definitely didn't get it on the same day it was cooked. We packed it, sliced it for you the best we could, and tried to keep it as moist as we could.
So. Tell me about these brown sugar ribs.
Well, brown sugar ribs, basically we have two different styles of ribs at 12 Bones. We have our naked ribs, which is just salt and pepper. And we cook those. We put, you know, all of our sauces will go on those ribs. But the brown sugar is just a mixture of brown sugar, pepper, and chili powder, and we just mix that together. And
I'm liking the sweet tomato sauce too.
Yeah, that's more traditional Western North Carolina. But we just liberally coat the brown sugar ribs and cook those for it ends up being about 4 hours at 275.
Now, I understand that the signature of North Carolina barbecue is the vinegar base. Tell me about how it evolved that way and why that's different from Kansas City or Memphis.
Yeah, we've heard that too. It's more the vinegar is more of an Eastern Carolina thing. We're up in the mountains here. and it's from different parts of North Carolina. I have different styles.
In the western part of the state, you know, you've got folks swear by a more of a tomato based sauce.
Mm-hmm. But, now, in 12 Bones, what is the most commonly ordered entree in your restaurant?
I would say probably a version of our ribs, whether it's blueberry chipotle or our brown sugar ribs. Yeah, they're very, very popular. And then in terms of the sides, our corn pudding is probably our most popular side, with collard greens being a close second. Maybe our jalapeno cheese grits are up there as well.
Do you have a high-class coleslaw?
We do. We do. I mean, it depends on a lot of people are, you know, we make a vinegar-based coleslaw,
mm-hmm.
But people are very opinionated on that. You know, some people swear by mayo. Some people swear by vinegar.
What do you prefer?
You know, it really depends. Occasionally we'll make a pineapple habanero mayo-based red slaw, and that's really good as well. But I don't know. It depends on my mood, I guess, for that day. Hot barbecue!
This is On Point. I'm John Harwood, in for Tom Ashbrook. Today we're talking about a classic American tradition, barbecue, and all the different ways to prepare it. With me is Steve Reichlin, author of the Barbecue Bible Cookbook Series, and Brian King and Shane Hevner from the 12 Bones Smokehouse in Asheville, North Carolina. They're co-authors of 12 Bones Smokehouse, a mountain barbecue cookbook. Guys, let me ask you about the greens and the baked beans I'm eating, because they're delicious. Tell me what goes into them.
The greens are my favorite. They start out with onions and bacon fat.
And, how can you go wrong?
And we'll sweat our onions down and then add our pork stock. We save our bones from our butts when we pull them in the morning. We'll make a stock, so we'll add our stock and reduce that down to almost a demi-glaze. And then we'll add our collard greens. We do 90-pound batches at a time. We do about 360 pounds a week of collard greens. But, yeah, so we'll
– So they're good for me, right?
They're fat-free.
they're good. Let's put it that way. But, yeah, they are they're unique. That's one of the reasons why I went to work at 12 Bones. When I went for my interview, I hadn't eaten there yet, so they told me I needed to eat before they could hire me. So I had the greens, and I was like, all right, this is
tell me about
good.
The beans.
The baked beans, what I like about the baked beans is they're not mushy. They still have a little bit of a crunch to them. Not a crunch, but, you know, they still have some backbone to them. We make a special bean sauce with bacon and onions and our tomato barbecue sauce and some brown sugar, and then we'll toss them in that and actually put them in the smoker and smoke them with oak and get that smoke flavor in there, and then give them a good stir. So they're actually smoked baked beans instead of your just regular typical baked beans. And that's one thing that we pride ourselves on, is not just the meat, but it's the sides. We think the sides are huge, and those get overlooked a lot in barbecue.
They're definitely huge. Let me go to one of our callers who are upset that I'm having such a good time eating by myself. We've got on Jim calling from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Jim, welcome to On Point. Sorry I can't share with you, but go ahead. Let me know your question.
Yes, sir. I was wanting to inquire about what you folks think about mutton. Around here up along the river, the different parishes will have once a week, basically not a cook-off, but they never schedule the barbecues at the same time. So one week you can go eat at one parish, and then the next week you can go eat at another parish. And I also wanted to inquire about what y'all thought about burgoo. You're talking about sides. We use burgoo as a side, which is sort of like a Brunswick stew, but with a wilderness stew, if you will. And I just want to make sure y'all didn't forget mutton. It's all about the mutton.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim, I am so glad you mentioned barbecue mutton because that brings us to the whole subject of micro regions of barbecue around the United States. Now, everybody knows the triumvirate of brisket, pork, ribs, shoulder, barbecued chicken. But in fact, we have these special regions of barbecue, like Kentucky with the epicenter around Owensboro, where barbecued mutton is the meat of choice. It's actually served with what may be the world's only black barbecue sauce, made with lemon juice, melted butter, and Worcestershire sauce. You all call it black dip. If you were to jump down to Decatur, Alabama, you would find a white barbecue sauce based on mayonnaise, vinegar, and black pepper that's served with barbecued chicken. Move out to Santa Maria, California, and what barbecue means there is tri-tip, a top piece of sirloin that cooks like a steak but slices like a brisket. It's served with salsa. So, I mean, what I love about barbecue is that it is so varied from region to region, from culture to culture.
If I could just Shane chime
and,
in, it's...
Yeah, go ahead. And I want to ask you guys also, Shane and Brian, about burgoo.
I haven't had burgoo, but, you know, talking about the micro regions that you're speaking of, it's almost like the craft beer industry, what you're seeing with that, that... you know, there's so many different great breweries that are popping up all over the country, and I think you're kind of seeing that with barbecue as well, bringing
now,
the one interesting
thing here that is that barbecued mutton historically is about some of the oldest barbecue we have documented in the United States. Way back in the 1830s in Owensboro, people were barbecuing mutton.
Wow.
Wow. Have you had mutton before, Shane?
I have not. I have never had mutton
before. Yeah, it sounds delicious.
Brian King is co-owner of the 12 Bones Smokehouse, and Shane Hevner is the head chef at 12 Bones. Guys, thanks so much for joining us, and the food's great.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we're going to try a taste from the Lone Star State. Joining me now from Lexington, Texas, is Kerry Bexley, owner of Snow's Barbecue. Kerry, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. How are you today, Mr. John?
Good. Now, Kerry, I gather that you guys in Texas think it's pretty lame that people in other states slather so much sauce on their barbecue. You guys like to go take it straight. Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know if we think it's lame. I mean, there's a lot of personal preferences that we offer sauce as a side. And in our region, there's so many different sauces, you know, that have popped up on the store shelves. Everybody thinks they make the best barbecue sauce. But again, in our cooking process or any of that, we don't put any sauce on top of the meat at all. It's just offered there as a side, a couple different blends of tomato-based sauce.
How long have you been in the business, Kerry?
We opened our doors March of 2003.
And do you come from a family with a deep tradition of cooking barbecue, or is this something that you acquired in midlife?
More so acquired in midlife. The lady that I call my pit master is Miss Tootsie Tominance. She's at the young age of 80 now in April and still going strong. And she's kind of the backbone of most everything that I've done that I take credit for. I took off of hers and just made some changes. But
is she the reason you got ranked best in Texas by Texas Monthly?
Definitely a big part of it, yes, sir. I mean, with that and our whole process from our customer service to our small-town atmosphere, everything was just a highlight to them. I mean, we take great pride in how you're treated when you walk into the doors, how you're treated when you leave, and, you know, we stop nothing short of seeing that you're satisfied.
All right, well, I'm gonna give you an assessment right now because I'm about to taste your barbecued sausage. Tell me a little bit about what goes into this particular dish.
Well, you know, sausage is kind of like a sauce. You know, there's hundreds of them on the market, and each and everybody usually has a little different preference. Ours is what we call a coarse blend of sausage. It's a beef and pork mixture, and it's, you know,
goes down really smooth.
You know, it's, again, everybody has a different preference. You know, what I may like today, I may not like tomorrow. I mean, there's a lot of them in this Central Texas area that I'm fond of several of them. You know, I'm not, me personally, is not real fond of a real coarse hot dog type of sausage, but again, every each his own. And ours won't finish out, especially in the shipping process of these. They won't finish out with a a lot of grease. They're not going to be real greasy. When they're fresh on Saturdays, they're sometimes they're they're a little fuller and have a little grease to them, but they're not going to be a greasy sausage.
Do you put out recipes so that people who come to Snow's can go home and make some approximation of what they get in your restaurant?
No, sir. I mean, we really have no secrets. If we got somebody there that's asking about any particular item, we'll tell them anything. But as far as putting out any recipes, we normally don't, no, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're just a one-day-a-week operation. We'll open up on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock, and there'll be a line, and we'll serve well in excess of 1,000 pounds usually on a Saturday morning, and we're usually try to be home by 2 o'clock.
Wow. So how many customers are in and out of there by 2 o'clock?
I'd say 300 to 500, and that's just a guess. We don't. Again, I run most everything by myself, from the shipping in to the ordering in to the getting stuff to the seasoning to a large portion of the cooking process. So it's and this is a part-time job. So as far as giving you good information, I can't give you real good as how many come through the door, but it's usually full every week.
If that's your part-time job, what's your full-time job?
I work for Luminant, which is a surface lignite mine, and I sell real estate, have rental property, and have cattle.
Wow. All right, tell me about this barbecue brisket, which I'm dipping in the sauce that you all sent just now. Tell me about the sauce and how you prepare the brisket.
You're already messing it up, John.
Oh, I shouldn't do that?
You should be able
always,
to
always
it
taste,
warm
taste it first
you
without the sauce.
Without any sauce. It's a prime cut of brisket that we cut. It's a smaller brisket. We don't use the real large ones. They'll finish out 4 to 5 pounds. It was smoked for 10 or 12 hours over indirect heat. We use all oak wood. It's just, there's so many different woods in different areas and regions, and oak is plentiful in our area. So that's what we've used all along, and we stick to. A lot of our cooking process is cooked over direct coals, so oak is makes a good, good hot coal, little second to mesquite there. But like I said, we use all oak, and then we're cooked for 10 or 12 hours.
Carrie, I want to give you and Steve both a chance to have a little interaction with one of our callers. Maybe we can learn something from them. Jim's on the line from Newport, Rhode Island. Jim, welcome to On Point. What's your barbecue question or comment?
Hi, Jim.
I'm afraid I'm apt to lecture, so I don't have a question, but I want to pass on some wisdom that somebody gave to me, and that is how to do great barbecue in a Weber kettle with absolutely no attention whatsoever. It's called a fuse, and you make a series of little triangles with two briquettes together, and then one on top, and you extrude that around. You just repeat that around the kettle. You sprinkle your wood over that, nice wet wood, and you light it up, and it'll burn for hours. And it'll come to about 250 degrees, which is perfect. And you can be inside or outside gardening, whatever, and just forget about it at the end of the day. Awesome.
Carrie, how's that sound to you?
It sounds like I might need him on the staff when it's that easy and awesome. I think he's probably correct with that, but the difference in a lot of good barbecues and bad is, the time and attention and love you give it during the cooking process. Very little of ours is, put it on there and forget it and come back an hour and a half later and look at it. I mean, we're pretty attentive the entire, cooking
I think
process.
Barbecue needs love, definitely.
There is no doubt. For a good, consistent quality and definitely needs a lot of love and passion for the process. And that's what we're blessed to just be open one day is, the people that are doing it 6 and 7 days a week, my hat's off to them. And it's to be able to keep that quality continuous, it's definitely a job. And, again, my hat's off to them. And there's lots of good ones that do that. But like I said, we're blessed to be just one day a week. And, it's still enjoyable. It's never dreadful that you're coming to work. It's always enjoyable. And you give your time and love to it. And that's what your ending process, your ending product shows.
Carrie, I got to tell you, I'm feeling kind of lucky here because I probably wouldn't be at your restaurant on the day that you're open, and I don't have to wait in line, and I'm I'm digging it right now.
I mean, our feedback for our, you know, our product that we ship across the U.S. has been just phenomenal. And, again, we take great pride in it, as we would if you were in the store. We're going to do everything we can to make you happy. And anytime you're not happy, we'll go the extra mile to see that you are.
All right, we've got Karen on the line from Columbia, South Carolina. Karen, what is your comment, question, secret recipe about barbecue?
Hey, John. Hey, everybody. What's wrong with you people? You're not talking about mustard-based barbecue.
Well, we were just about to get there, because if you think about the Carolinas there, I mean, just as there are regional styles of barbecued meats around the country, there are certainly styles of barbecue sauce. So, and this is coming from a Yankee, but my understanding of the Carolinas is Eastern North Carolina, it's the vinegar sauce where the predominant ingredients are vinegar, hot pepper, and salt. Western part of North Carolina, they either add ketchup to it or wave a ketchup bottle over it. Whereas in South Carolina, you guys, your sauce is mustard barbecue sauce.
Carrie, do you do anything with mustard?
We have mustard in one of our ingredients in our, what we call our mopping sauce that we'll kind of like your spritz or your spray. We use it with a like a food-grade mop that will keep them moist, and it has a mustard flour in it for our chicken, pork, and our ribs that are cooked direct over direct coals.
Steve Reichlin, is mustard a distinctively South Carolina thing, or you find other pockets of the country where it's the reigning style?
Well, mustard sauce is distinctively South Carolinian. At this point, barbecue has become so popular and so widespread that you find mustard sauces in many other parts of the country. But South Carolina is the birthplace of the mustard sauce.
By the way, Steve, have you personally been to Snow's and to 12 Bones, the two places that we have visited so far and tasted?
I have not been lucky enough to eat at those places, but I have been to your third guest, and that is Q39 in Kansas City.
Carrie, do you make it a practice to travel around and sample other barbecue in Texas, or are you too busy with yours?
I mean, we don't travel around at some of our special events, whether, you know, we get to meet with a lot of these other great people that, and again, our barbecue family in Texas, we're all one. We're not competitors. We're in it for each other, and anytime we can offer a hand or advice or anything to one another, we do that, and that's a great blessing. But no, I don't get around.
How come Texas politicians don't do it that way?
Well, I can't answer that. We're never not even going to go to that point, but it's definitely not happening. But you know, if we're away from the home and anything with the family, it, barbecue definitely doesn't get put on the list to stop and eat, I can assure you.
Wow. Well, Carrie, I can tell you that this the brisket and the sausage were both exquisite. Carrie Beckley is the owner of Snow's Barbecue. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and y'all have a great day. What's my problem?
Too much barbecue. I can't believe you're telling me this, man. Woo! And what's my problem? Too much barbecue. Get your hands out of my face. You're going to have my coleslaw.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at wbur.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes.
This is On Point. I'm John Harwood, in for Tom Ashbrook. Today, we're tasting some of the best barbecue from around the country and gleaning wisdom from some of the best barbecue minds and barbecue joints. With me is Steve Reichlin, author of the Barbecue Bible Cookbook Series. And joining me now from Kansas City is Rob McGee. He's the owner of Q39. Thanks so much for being with us, Rob.
Thanks, John.
And also with me in the studio is Zuninjor Mwemeka, digital reporter at WBR. Sorry about the name, Zuninjor, a native of Kansas City. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, let me first ask you before I go to Rob. As a native of Kansas City, Tell me what Kansas City barbecue has meant to your life.
Oh, gosh, so many things. I would have to say, I mean, Kansas City barbecue is a staple. You go to Kansas City, you got to try the barbecue. And the great thing about barbecue in Kansas City is that there's so many options. I mean, you got sort of your down-home dives, you got your more upscale restaurants. You can get any kind of meat, chicken, pork, beef, anything barbecued. And I got to say, what makes it great is, to me, is the sauce. So we do a great job in Kansas City. Slow and low is the key to the barbecue there. You got to cook it slow, low at a low temperature. And you just got so many choices. You could eat barbecue every day for weeks there.
Rob McGee, define what is distinctive to Kansas City above all other parts of the country in barbecue. Go.
Well, I would definitely say the two things Kansas City is known for are phenomenal burnt ends, and then the other thing would be our sauce. I think our molasses-based sauce, tomato molasses, separates us from everybody else.
Now, is that the core of – when I go to the grocery store and I see one of these plastic bottles of KC Masterpiece or whatever it's called – Is that reflecting that essence that you said of the molasses-based sauce?
Not my sauce, but yes, that Kansas City's known for, or maybe even more molasses into it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I got burnt ends right in front of me, and I'm going to put them in my mouth right now. Tell me what I'm tasting.
Great. You've got go ahead and smoke whole brisket. Then we separate the point from the flat. We take all the fat off, then we go ahead and caramelize that on our oak grill, and then we cube it up, and then we'll season it with a little bit of our Q39 rib rub, and if you want, you can also try it with a little bit of our classic sauce, but it tastes great on its own also.
So how long in the preparation is this burnt end that I'm eating?
Well,
start to
go ahead and... Yeah, we'll start smoking the brisket for 4.5 hours, and then we'll wrap it with foil, add smoked beef jus to it, finish that off, would be 2 to 2.5 hours. Then we would go ahead and remove that from the smoker, let it rest for approximately 1.5 hours. Then we would take that, re-season it, and then go ahead and separate it, and then start the grilling process for the burnt ends.
Zuninjor, how many times have you been to Q39?
You know, I have yet to be to check out Q39, but now it's definitely on my list. So, Rob, you'll be seeing me there when I'm home for the holidays.
Now, that would be great.
Now, we've got a honey barbecue sauce and a zesty barbecue sauce. Is that to be applied to this rib that's right in front of me?
The honey barbecue sauce goes great with the ribs and also the classic. The honey barbecue is what we, when we won number one team in the nation twice, that sauce is what we use to go on our ribs.
Now, I want to play it. Go ahead.
You definitely want to just put a light coat on the ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do on the backside is just sprinkle a little bit of that rib rub. And so when you take a bite into it, there'll be three layers of flavor. You're going to get the little bit of sweet sauce from mm-hmm. the barbecue, and then you'll get some of the rub, and then you'll get the pork flavor and smoke that'll come through.
I want to give people a little cultural touchstone to barbecue by playing this clip from the 2013 movie The Family. Robert De Niro's character is part of a notorious mafia family that's relocated to Normandy, France, under the Witness Protection Program, where he becomes Fred Blake, but he finds it difficult to fit in. Here he's getting more advice than he wants on barbecuing.
That's not how you do it, Mr. Blake. You put too much charcoal on too soon.
You know, this is the first time I prepared a barbecue.
I build a good fire. It takes longer. The quality is so much better.
Your charcoal isn't good quality. You have to get it from Michel on the north side of town.
Or use very dry wood. You'll never get it started. You should empty it out and start over. It'll be quicker.
Rob McGee, do the French make good barbecue?
Well, I haven't heard that they do, but, you know, maybe I just haven't been at the right place.
Yeah. Now, I noted your answer the other day when I was talking about the grocery store barbecue sauce. Does that, as a... as a master maker of barbecue in Kansas City, does it offend you that the reputation for Kansas City barbecue nationally may be shaped by a product like that that's so different from yours?
No, I don't think so. I think in their day, they did a phenomenal job. I think they're known throughout the United States, and hats off to KC Masterpiece for doing such a great job. It is a good sauce.
Has their day passed?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think that, I think the sauce is really good. If you were to compare that with my sauce, my sauce is very layered of flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very complex. So the different types of sauces, you can do a big production sauce, but mine's more for tailored just for restaurant or specialty shops.
Well, does that mean when you say more complex, don't try this at home?
Yeah, I don't think somebody could match this at home, that's for sure.
Zanine George, does your family make barbecue at home, slow and low, or in whatever fashion?
No, we don't make our own barbecue, but we definitely have a good time going out to eat at the many barbecue joints around Kansas City. So.
What's your favorite?
I gotta say, I've always been partial to Gates. Obviously, that's a classic, long-standing restaurant in Kansas City. So, a lot of people love Gates, and I tend to go there when I go home.
Let's go to one of our callers. We've got Hal on the line from Charlotte, Vermont. Hal, welcome to On Point. What's your question?
I am having some trouble maintaining my fire temperature. I've got an offset wood smoker, and I'm having trouble maintaining temperature. Either it gets kind of too cool if I let it burn low and I add logs and control the airflow and I get some kind of creosote flavors, or I'm burning too hot by increasing that airflow and avoiding the creosote. But I wondered if you had some advice on fire maintenance.
Steve Reichlin? Steve, you still there? I guess Steve is gone. Okay. Rob McGee, what advice do you have for Hal about maintaining that temperature?
You bet. I think there's twofold here. First of all, the smoker you have, to maintain a really good temperature, you want the metal to be about a quarter-inch steel. So I'm not sure how thick your steel is on your smoker. To get that char, that flavor of over-smoked, here's an easy way to do it. Once you fire up your fire, you open up your damper so it can breathe, so it can maintain the temperature, bring it up as high as you want. The exhaust, what you want to do is open that up, and then once you see it, you let the smoker just do its thing when you put the wood in. If you see any smoke come out of any part of that smoker except the exhaust pipe, open it up more. As soon as the smoke can flow right out without coming out the door or sides, then you've got the smoke rolling through the smoker, which will take care of your meat just perfect.
All right, Rob, I've got your brisket and your pulled pork here. Let me start with the brisket. Tell me what's distinctive about how you do it in Kansas City, because we had some both Texas and North Carolina brisket that was pretty good.
Yeah, our restaurant here is known for championship barbecue. So it's, it's award-winning, it's proven. So what we do different here is after the 4.5 hours, we do wrap our brisket. Well, a lot of people say, oh, no, you got to let it cook all the way in the smoker until it's done. We feel that if you wrap it up, and which has been proven, but if you wrap it up, it'll keep a lot more moisture in the brisket. And then when you finish the process...
What do you wrap it up in?
Foil.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a double sheet of foil, put the brisket in, wrap it up nice and tight, and put a little smoked beef jus in there. So it'll finish cooking in... moist environment. So when we're done, our brisket is nice and moist. There's a saying in my kitchen, you can always add back flavor, but you can never add back moisture.
Now, tell me about the pulled pork, which is next on my tasting list.
What makes ours different than a lot of places is we apple brine our pork. So
apple brine?
Yep. So we'll make a brine with half apple juice, half water, sugar, and salt, and we'll let it sit for at least 10 hours. We'll let that go overnight, then we'll take our pork, season it up, and then go ahead and use the same smoking process, and then wrap it. We actually smoked the pork an hour and a half longer than our brisket because it can handle it, and then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. When we wrap it, instead of putting a smoked pork shoe in it, we put straight apple juice in it to give it the a nice fruit flavor. When we're all finished, after we wrap it, put it back in the smoker, once we bring it up to about, 188 degrees, we take that out, we let it rest for a good hour and a half to 2 hours. Then we'll go ahead and drain the au jus, separate the fat from the juice, and then we'll go ahead and pull the pork, defat it, and then add some of that au jus back in to get that nice moisture back into that pork.
How many people work in the kitchen of your restaurant?
I think there's 33 employees right now.
Wow. And what, of all the entrees on your menu, which one is most often ordered?
Our biggest seller would probably be our brisket.
Zuninjor, when you go to one of your favorite Kansas City restaurants, what's your go-to? What's your comfort food? What's home base for you?
Oh, it's got to be the burnt ends. Burnt ends are my absolute favorite. They just melt in your mouth. I think, as Rob mentioned before, that is one of the things Kansas City is known for. So that's my go-to.
So Q39 is not the only place that does burnt ends.
Oh, yeah. You can get burnt ends all over the place in Kansas City. Most of the barbecue joints there, barbecue restaurants, have burnt ends on the menu. You can get burnt ends just on a plate, burnt end burger, burnt end sandwich. So it's all about burnt ends for me.
Well, I got to tell you, my go-to coming from North Carolina is a pulled pork barbecue sandwich. The coleslaw is key. Rob, do you do coleslaw?
We do. We have over four different coleslaws we make in-house for our menu.
All right, let's go to another caller. We've got James on the line from New Orleans. James, New Orleans got to have something great in barbecue since they have so much great in food and music and everything else culturally. Welcome to On Point. Go right ahead.
Thank you, and I don't know if I can represent all of New Orleans, but I will say this. One of the things that I do when I'm, like, barbecuing chicken leg quarters is I'll barbecue the chicken till it's almost done, and then I'll take it off the grill, dip it in sauce, completely dip it, put it back on the grill for about 10 minutes. It fully cooks, and the barbecue sauce is caramelized onto the chicken, and it's awesome.
James, thanks so much for that delicious idea. Rob, does that make sense to you? You like that? You like that strategy?
Oh, I think he's on point. What we do here is we'll roast the chicken until it hits 165, which is, it's cooked all the way, but yet it could handle just a little bit more. Then when we get an order, we almost do it the same way. We cut the chicken to order. We coat it we put it on the grill. Get the nice, good char marks on the grill, then apply the sauce because it's so hot, it makes it nice and tacky. So when you eat the chicken, it's not like eating the saucy chicken. So I think he's on point, and his chicken must be absolutely delicious.
Rob, I'm sure you're not the kind of guy who stands pat. Tell me about the next frontier for your restaurant. Is there some dish you're working on? You haven't pulled it out yet, but it's going to be available soon.
Well, we just rolled out a new menu. Some of the fun things we have, I'll give you something with a twist, is we do a smoked fried chicken. We take our chicken that we smoked for an hour and a half, then we go ahead and cut that to order, and we put it through our seasoned flour, buttermilk seasoned flour again, and fry that. Then we drizzle a little bit of chipotle cilantro barbecue sauce on it, and it's just incredible. So it's a barbecue with a twist.
So you've got that out now, and is it selling?
Yep.
Just flying off your night. Flying out of your kitchen?
I don't know if it's flying out, but yeah, we're selling a lot of it.
Zuninjor, is there any good Boston barbecue?
I think the verdict is still out on that. There are some good places around, but it's hard when you're from Kansas City to pick another place.
That sounds like a no. Zuninjor Enwemeka, digital reporter at WBUR. the pride of Kansas City. Thanks for coming into the studio with me.
Thank you.
Rob McGee is the owner of Q39 in Kansas City. Thanks so much for joining us, Rob.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Steve Reichlin is a writer, TV host, and cooking teacher, author of the Barbecue Bible Cookbook Series, and TV host of Project Smoke and Primal Grill on PBS. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, John.
You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast. Follow us on Twitter at On Point Radio. I'm John Harwood, in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Yeah.